Sidbury was born on the 28th of April 1920 in Deddington, North Oxfordshire. He's lived in the village ever since. He is now 84 years old, but most of the events and people and houses that he's recalling on this interview were when he was 8 to 9 years old. He's talking to Colin Robinson of Quinquay House, which used to be the poorhouse, and Rob Forsyth in the background, who lives in the Style House, which used to be the vet's house next to Style Lane.
Find my voice for the sake of the tape, because someone's going to be transcribing this.
Yeah.
So they have to know me as Colin Robinson. What's your name?
Poor lot. Sydney William George Berry.
George, oh, right. Okay. And so you were actually born in the village, weren't you?
I was born in Deddington, Hudson's Lane, my one-roomed house, where Mr. Pratt lives now, I think.
You call it Hudson's Lane?
Yeah, that's Hudson Street.
Now called Hudson Street. Was it used to be called Hudson Lane?
Hudson's Lane, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was born.
Right.
And then my father, he worked for Douglas Ockcroft, the builders.
Right.
And he, a bit later on, we moved from there and went up to Earls Lane. I was up there till about 8 years old. And then the people down at the lodge, Jerusalem Lodge, was named Hyde. And he wanted to... I think he'd come up to this house where we lived up the steps, and he moved out, and Ed moved in into there then, up the steps.
Where Margaret lives.
That's it. And that next door then was the plough. It was still going then. My empresses did that. If you, I don't know if you've seen all the big 6 feet high corrugated iron, it was all rain at Mrs. Terry's garden, and that's there's no urinal in the pub, so the blokes used to have to come up the garden and do it in the corner. And every week, Joe Cannon, he came round with a horse and trap with a big tank on it to empty all the buckets. And so we didn't go through the pub. There was, in this corrugated iron, there was a sort of lid there. And he pulled that out and put his arms under and pulled the two buckets out. And then I had to, when I took this ace over, along the end, there was the brickwork was there of what the house belonged, you know, the people who lived here, what they used. And that was an old person, an adult person, and a little one where the kid went and sat by the side at the same time. So that was, but I pulled that to pieces there. Yes, that was up there now, there, where we got to.
You told us that you moved. So when did you move into this house?
When
did you move into this house?
When did I move into this house? We lived in up the steps and, from when I was 8, and then we kept on, and then I bought this house, 1954, I think it was, and it took me nearly 4 years to get into it. We moved into it one Friday night because I rented an house over the other side of the road in the meanwhile. And in 1966 I moved in here.
Why did it take so long to get in?
Because the old girl was such a... the fair lady, she was such an awkward sort of person to deal with. And I wanted to alter the place, you see. And I said if she'd get out for 6 weeks, she could come back at the same rate, rent, as she was paying. with a revamped house. Oh, she couldn't do that. She didn't trust me. So I had to wait hanging on until she was taken ill. My wife got up the ladder and found her in bed a couple of times. And then her daughters had a go at the council, and she went up the Empton Road into one of the bungalows up there. And that gave me a chance to get Franklin's. They come and altered the place, pulled this away. It was along that side. The front door was there, and then there was a passage come along there, up to where the front door is. And it was a little room here. Then the staircase was there by the telly. And then the kitchen was next to it there. And of course, the far end, where the kitchen is now, that was the coal hole. That's where the copper was. And they'd done the washing every week. They used to have the copper there, and firewood, newspapers, and all the washer went in the copper, stirred her up, kept it there on boil for three or four hours.
Did the house have electricity? Did it have electricity?
No, I got it. I had that put in. Well, that was an extra thing. Yes, I got that put in for my own sake, because I wanted the electricity in the garage, you see. And so I'm still paying for that now, because the electricity put it across to the garage, and then I had it put into the house. And now I wish I got 2 meters, so I pay the rent on 2 meters now. And they put a pole up there, you see. And I'll try like hell to get it back, you know, to get on to give me take the pole down and put it underground. That saved me quite a lot of money, but they won't touch on that.
So did not many houses along here have electricity then?
It's what?
The houses along the street, New Street, did they generally have electricity?
Oh yeah, I think, most of them did, because the four houses all belonged to E.O. Walker. And his wife, she came from Boyfield or somewhere up that way. And her people were bits of builders, and they came up here in 1932, I think, when they bought the pub and that. And then the electric was put in and that, and they done them all.
But would houses in New Street generally have had electricity?
No, it was gas. Hmm. More gas. There was a gas lamp over the other side by the letterbox. That was a good one, because we used to play around that in the evenings. And a man named Batchelor, he lived up in the Chur, and he used to come round on a bike, and a crook with a little knob on the end, put the light on, and away he'd go. And we'd have a good bit of fun. We could get up these poles easy, you know, and put it out. So that was old Batchy, and he was a bit later on, about 9 o'clock, he'd have another go, but he would be in Unicorn usually on cider. And he never did quite catch us, not on that. But that was there was gas lamps, and there was lime trees all up the street as well. All down here there was lime trees right up to Hudson's Lane there. And then there was some at the top by the police station as well, I think. Quite nice it was then, you know, for there.
And was the road hard? Was it tarmacked?
The road was tarmacked. We hadn't got any curbs or anything. It was just a grass finish, you know, they do. We really didn't need a lot, because there was only one car in the village. That was Dr. Turner's. He lived down on top of the hill.
Big house.
And that was Dr. Turner, the first car in the village, that was.
Which house?
As you go down Chapman's Lane, the doctor's house on the right. And Dr. Turner lived there. good old doctor he was, bottle of whiskey a day. He charged the rich and helped the poor. But I think the drink killed him in the finish, you know. But, it was doctors, quite a few doctors came there after that. Mm. There was Dr. Begin with a B, another one. But anyway, that was down there. In fact, before the doctors were there, there was my dad's time, and that house was a farmyard. And a bloke named Billy Townsend kept it, and it had pigs there.
When you're talking about now, what sort of time, what period?
Oh, that'd be when their dad come out of the war, out the army, 1918. And when they come over back to Deddington, you see these, like my dad had picked up my mother at Bristol, and that was it. And of course my dad's family was in Deddington, but my dad used to tell me about this Billy Townsend. The kids used to go down there and call him names. And he said no sooner than they got down there, you know, and had a bit of a do, he chased them with a damn great knife. And so they had to run all round the castle to get away from him. Yeah. That was. But then after that, I say it went into a doctor's hands. And there was doctors for quite a few people then in that house down there. And Miss Turner's, that some of the Turners, they were, you know, with in what was the family then, with the doctor. They had a house built down the lane. These stones, the operas used to tip them down the lane, and they had a house built down there. That was the first house by the allotments down there. And and the rest was, it was Ockroft's field, you know, for allotments. Yeah. So that was down there. And then where we got to now?
Well,
that was Billy Townsend.
The period we're talking about is when you were still a teenager?
Oh, yeah, because I used to get about a bit, because I had to go to work, you see, when I was eight.
Yeah. Eight?
Yeah, that's old Sandy Ockcroft, the butcher in Chapel Square.
This little thing here.
I had to go every Saturday morning down to the butcher shop in Chapel Square.
Yep.
And have a wicker basket, put the meat in it, and away you go, boy. And I used to have to walk down sometimes right down to Deddington Mill and down Clifton Lane, down Clifton Road as far as Gardner's, delivering meat basket in a basket. And when I got back, I'd had to stand in the shop for a little while till he decided where he was going to get rid of me next. And when I'd done that, wait, being there, I'd had to unfold the newspapers, because he used to get the Sunday papers, what were left over from Saunders's, they had all that, and all the leftovers, they used to go to Sandy's butcher's shop. And underneath the counter, one of the counters, there was a pokey little hole, you know, and this big bale of papers would be there. So that was my job, to get under this whole counter, unfold the papers so that when somebody come in and want two bobs worth of meat, that was it. Straight on there, wind it up, and the paper was all ready for the next one.
Straight on the newspaper?
Yeah, well,
no greaseproof or anything in between?
I got a bit artful. So when I was doing the papers, I found out that one of them had got a cartoon in the middle. So while nobody was looking, I was doing this like that, and fold it, next one, have another look at that. I used to enjoy that. And I was doing it one morning, all of a sudden it went whang, a damn great piece of meat come on, boy. You know, it's straight out of my hands. And he was a bit rare old character, old Sandy. he gave me a little job one morning. I had to go out and wipe a knife. He gave me a butcher's knife and he said, go out the back, put it in a bucket of water, cold water mind you, and wipe it. And with all the mutton was in cloths then, mutton cloth. And they used all them for wipers, you know. And of course I wiped this knife, didn't think. Zoom, it went straight across my hand. So I went back, I thought, oh, that's done it. I said, here's your knife, Mr. Ockrap. So he says, what's up with your other hand then, boy? I said, nothing, Mr. Ockrap. Put it here, he says. He says, you'll learn better. He said, next time you'll work it on the blunt side. And that's all I got. I didn't need to get a bit of rag or nothing to wipe it up. But that's how he was, old Sandy.
His name, Sandy?
Sandy Hotcraft.
Hotcraft. And the shop was?
In Chapel Square, where they've got the, it's just, what you call it, office
point,
space now, isn't
point.
It? It's in the narrow bit, just as you go into the marketplace, on the right.
Yeah.
And then on the left was the old postman. He had he was a postman as well. Vincent. His dad used to have a bicycle shop there. And then Bandy Burt had a grocery shop next to the butcher shop. And he lived in the opposite, on the top of Philcott Street, the first big house on the corner. And he used to have all his sugar in hundredweight sacks along the outside. Like, if he was lucky, you could have a handful now and again, but that was another shop there.
So where Centre Point now is, was the butcher's shop.
Yeah.
And next to that, there's that housing agency, isn't there?
Yeah, that was Brandy Burt's shop. There.
And then, one.
Then you had a little cottage. Old Mr. Girtwood used to live there. He was an ex-marine or something. And he was a little man like this. We always marching properly, you know, out in the street and that. And his missus used to tell me off nearly every time I went with the bread. Because of what I used to knock the door and shout out Baker, and then I'd put the basket against the side of the door and all the trums used to come back through the bottom. And she said, you've been at it again, and my boy, I'm here, look at that now. You ought to be made a mess of it up. But so I got her in the finish, so worked her all right. But that was there. And then next door to that you've got the Wesleyan Chapel, and up by the almshouses was the Sunday school, the Wesleyan Sunday school. And when you went up to there, because their dad worked for Ockcrafts, and old Alfred Ockcraft, he was the bloke who looked after the Wesleyan Chapel, so I had to go to Wesleyan. And up there, that was, it was on that piece there, that narrow piece, that was just in the Chapel Square, where you come along there. There was three little cottages there. There was Mrs. Gardner, Ernie Harper, and David Skidmore. Oh, that was right, David Skidmore, in those houses. And you went up towards the church, up that road there, and that was the Sunday school. There's some steps there now, they still go up that way. But when you finished Sunday school, you didn't have a chance to go out and go off it anywhere. You had to go in the back way and into the chapel and for the service till 11 o'clock. Well, some of the kids were quite, you know, awful. And in the Wesleyan Sunday School, it's got a gallery. And if you were lucky, we would get up on this gallery up at the top and look down on the thing. Well, little one of our mates, Dan Cullery, he got a packet of wood boys one Sunday morning. We lit her up, and a man named Orr lived in it, sat in the thing. He smelt this wood boy. His hand come round and he had an old lot on us. Even down the stairs there, kicked us all out that Sunday. So I went home early and got good old in there for going home early. That was another one.
Is this still when you were about 8 years old, a bit older now?
This all, when I was with Sandy, you see, with the walking about with this on a Saturday, but Saturday meal times at midday, old Jack Malter, he worked for Sandy full time. He'd got an old car and a little bit of a box trailer on the back, and then I'd had to go with Jack Malter round the villages, and then Dunstew and places like that. And when he wrapped the meat up, he'd say, "Hey, take that up there and take that up there." And if I was lucky, he'd give me a bottle of pop at a pub somewhere or other, because they all stopped at the pubs, you know. So that was there. And then as I progressed further than there, coming down street, you see, living down here at this street, old Dewey Course was in the bakehouse at the store, and he wanted some, so I had to go there and do the grease the tins at night for him to put the bread in. So that was every night when I come from school, go down there for an hour, sweep up, chop the wood, do that, all ready for the next morning. So I worked on and on for Bill Course for all ages.
Was that wasn't the one that I knew, would it be? Or his father? Because Dewey Course lived there when I came.
Yeah, the old one. The old father still, the old man lives around Philcott Street, up on the bottom of Philcott Street, and the sons had it on the stile. His dad, you see, Dewey Course's dad, kept Denton Mill at one time, down at Bloxham Verge, Dading's Wood, or what you call it. And when this man, who was the baker, he packed up or something, you know, although he put the money up, and Bill Course, that's the one you know, he come out of the Navy in the war. I think he was on HMS Ceres, and he worked in a bakery on it, and that put me, that's what I thought I was going to do one time. And he was there, and I worked for him, old Bill Course, on and off, because we used to have rows, me and him, and I'd leave and then go somewhere else. In between time, one of my jobs was Jack Compton. He got his fishmongers over the other side by the phone box. You know where that was, opposite the what do you call it now, the
behind the town hall?
No. The cafe there, you know, where there was the pub, the volunteer pub.
Right.
And then there was the what do you call it? It was Chinese, not the end of Chinese. Where you come from? Anyway, Jack Compton's shop was there, on the opposite side, and he got a pony trap. He had, and I used to go for him. Ride the shop bike, used to deliver all round Steeple Aston and places like this with fish and one thing and another. And then twice or three times a week we'd go round the villages somewhere, and I'd have to go with them. And damn cold job it was sometimes, because old Jack Compton used to stop at every pub for about an hour. And there I had to walk about outside, watch the horse didn't run away and get cold. And I was there. Well, Jack Compton's, I used to have to go out to Middlebarton with a bike, half past six in the morning, to see the gamekeeper. And the gamekeeper had been out in Fleming's things there, and I'd pick the rabbits up, 20 rabbits or so, what he shot in the morning, come back to the shop, and that's where I learnt to skin a rabbit and do that. And one of the first funny things he had me on, he said one day, hurry up, he says, have your dinner and come up again as soon as you can. I've got a special job. So I says, what's that then? He says, I'm going to get your bike and I'm going to put some sacks on it. He says, some empty sacks, spuds, things. And I want you to go to Banbury. So, yes, right. Go down the main street. And when you get to the bottom of the main street, you'll see a big fish shop. He said, no glass in the window. It's just big platform there, Colebrook's fish shop. You tell him you come for a bag of something for Mr. Compton at Deddington, and they'll put something in the bag and put it on your bike, and then you've got to pile like hell, he says, go up to take it up to North Aston to Colonel Taylor's before it melts. That was half under weight of ice. And I had to go.
And how old are you then?
Well, about nine or ten, like, something like
cycle
that.
Cycled to Banbury and from there to North Aston.
Then to North Aston with
the ice.
Because he was holding a party that night and he wanted ice to put in the drinks. That was the other funny thing I had there was my little bit of a do with horses, because this horse was a piebald cob or whatever you call him. We got brain spots on him, like, you know. And what the poor devil happened when it was the election, and the Tory man lived at Sanford, I think, and all this quite a thing with elections in those days. And anyway, old Jack Compton used to put his pony up the Grove in the week, you know, when everybody was going right there. And somebody got in at the old horse and got him out and painted it with blue stripes all across. It looked like a zebra because of the Conservatives. And they said, hello to do over it, you know, because they said it was cruel and all the rest of it. But that was another thing. So old Jack Compton had a piebald cob with stripes on. And then I used to go with old Jack right round Steeple Aston, Ayford's, right round there, I say, and come up. And we come, when we got to Middle Aston, probably he'd had a one or two by then. And between Middle Aston and North Aston, there's a steep hill down in the middle, and up that way. And of course, the old nag used to skid when he was going up there trying to get up this hill. So old Jack used to take him to the side on the grass verge, and the old thing would be up that, like this. And sometimes the effort for the horse was a bit much, and it used to let off there with the wind. And I said, that's a dirty damn thing, Mr. Compton. He says, there's a bit of good grass he's having. He says, I always thought of that. And then one day, we got up to the top there. Yeah, you little job, he said. And I don't know whether they'd been at what they'd been eating, but their bucket was full up, the laboratory bucket. So he says, you can take the horse and trap, he said, and take it up Banbury Road and turf it in the tip. So of course the old horse was, I managed to get him up there and got up, managed to tip this bucket up and come up on the horse. Now he was going like, what you call it, he thought he's got pacing home. He come down that road out for left of that bloody, I lost the bucket. That fell out the back. And he got down there. What the hell you been doing, boy, he said to this horse. But anyway, I'd calm the horse a bit afterwards, because he used to put it down a Peel down Chapman's Lane, right at the bottom. And where the wagons used to go down with the carts and that, they made two big ruts down there. And that left you, where the ruts were, you'd be up one side like that. And I used to get the old horse and get him tied up by the gate. And then if I was a bit careful, I could get on the other side of a rut and then strung out on his back. And then I used to ride him then, all down there up to the field. And one morning he must have had a fit or something, but he took off before I got over. And my head was in the bush, you know, like that side. And the legs that side, and I couldn't stop him anyway. I come out so red on that. And, when I looked up, the horse had gone. And I thought, well, I damned, I'm going to be in for it now. So I come walking back up with the bridle. And the horse had come all the way from down Chapman's Lane, up the street, up the main street, and gone in his stable down the yard. Mm. So that finished up all right. That was another day. Then what was the other funny thing I had there? Oh, Mrs. Fletcher lived next to Ronicle's shop. And I don't know what had happened to her husband, but she got one son. And she used to come over to the shop and get a few bananas and one thing and another and one way or another. And she come over one day and Jack Compton, he was out somewhere. And she said, oh my boy, she said, I've got a duck in a bag in here, she said, and we were going to have it for a meal tonight. And she said, Mr. Compton usually kills them for me. And she said, I was in a hurry, I would like that. Could you do anything to me? I said, oh no, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that. Anyway, I'll leave it with you, she said, when Mr. Compton comes back. But if he can't come back, come and let me know. So I thought, I'd watched old Jack do this once or twice. So I got this thinking duck and a broom handle, put his head down there and the feet on and pulled like that and took it. And Mrs. Compton used to dress them or get some woman to dress them, you see. So, and she wondered what had happened to it. I said, well, I'll kill that dog, Mrs. West Fletcher, and that. And oh, didn't she go on? Because I hadn't bled it, you see. I'd pulled it, I'd killed it, but all the blood was still in it. So that I didn't have to do that anymore. that taught me that. That was Jack Compton's little bit of a do. I say that was the old people, you know, really old people, they can remember that with the horse. And the other bloke who was with the politics, a man named Gibbs, right in the bottom of the town. And he got that ground where the bungalows are, where, you know, backs up to my place. And there was a nice big piece of ground there where those two bungalows are, and that Caloy Gibbs' his name was. And he was a proper Labour man. And he spoke with a sort of down his nose. Anyway, the lads got going on this conservative job, and they painted his window. Of course, old Caleb got up in the morning and he said, I couldn't understand it. He said, I thought, bloody great deep snow in it, right in the window like that. He got it, and they painted his bloody windows for the Conservatives again. That was round about that time. Then they would go up there on Jack Compton's shop. You had Horace Tibbetts. That was Plummy's, where Plummy had Len Plum had the garage and that.
Yeah.
Horace Tibbetts had it before him, and he was shoed all the horses and that.
Oh, right.
And that's he was, those days you didn't have the doctors like you've got now, but when you had a sort of you had to belong to a he was a Rakovoiter or something like that. And if you, when you left school and all that, and had to have it for employment, you got to belong to one of them to get a bit of the help if you were ill or anything. And Horace said that was that he was the bloke who had a C for that. And if you had an accident or something like that, that he'd get pay for the doctor. So, yeah. But there was no national health or anything like that. Yeah. In fact, the one of the people just up the street here, she used to come round every Saturday morning, and you'd give her a penny, and that was if you got knocked over or anything. Yeah. The ambulance was at Middle Barton. And that paid for the ambulance if you were taken that on that. And the other thing was, if you wanted a doctor, I think you could pay a penny or tuppence for that every now. Like your parents done that for them. And then on from there holidays on Hudson's Lane, the people called holiday was supper, or supper holiday. He got in the war, he got shell-shocked, and he was old doing this and kicking like this when he was talking to you, but he couldn't help it, but everybody took the mickey out of him, you know. And then up the grove, there was three houses up there on the right-hand side where that electricity thing is. Harper's was one, that was a big family. And then Sandy Ockhart had a cottage, two little cottages up the top. That was a slaughterhouse. And he used to, the same butcher you see from Chapel Square, that was the slaughterhouse up there. He used to kill sheep one day and pigs the other, and he used to send a lorry up to Smithfield every day when, you know, that end of that time. And when they killed a beast, they had a pole axe it. And quite often, the beast would get a pulley blocks on the floor like that, and they'd put the rope over the beast's head, and then pull on these two ropes down, and that would pull its head down to the floor. And then a bloke with a pole axe, and he got hit in the forehead, and that made a hole in its brain, and that was that. But sometimes the old beast, they got loose, and you would see it come to walking down the street running like hell, and Jack Malter and some of the other butchers all running down trying to grab the rope down there. But they usually got them back, but that was the thing. But and the what you call it, when we was up the grove there, us kids used to go and probably have a look, see what they were doing. And if the right chaps was on, a bit of a devil's head, they'd throw a big plonk of meat at you, you know, or something like that. Which wasn't too bad, because if you didn't get too dirty, you could take it home. And then you go up the street on the opposite side to the grove, there was Jimmy Freeman, and he was a barber. So that was, I can remember going there and kicking up hell when I had to have an haircut. I didn't like that.
So opposite the grove, where the clothes shop now is, which used to be the garage.
It was just on the corner like that, of the grove. That was that house on the corner.
Of the grove?
Right. Nearest the crossroads. As you come round, like that. There was a shop there, a house there. And you go up some steps to it. Still there now. And that was Jimmy Freeman's barber shop. That for a long while. And then you go up a bit further. And, well, up there the reservoir was in between the grove and Compton's shop. And there was a pump there. And they called it the reservoir. And they're still there today. And where you the pump was there, and you could go and get water at any time, you know, because everybody was on water, on wells and things. There was no water laid. And in that place now, we took it down when I worked on the council. We put a manhole over the pump and that, and there's a stream coming in there, and from the grove, when you go up towards the crossroads, about the second or third ace up, in the cellar, that's where that stream starts. And that comes out and it runs down the street, and that comes to where that pump was, by Jack Compton's there, and you put steps down into it. They're still there. And you can go down, and this water's still going, and that comes down here, down New Street, straight down Oxford Hill, and runs into the Rook down the bottom of there.
There's a pump outside my back door, yeah. And there is still a pump outside what used to be Eileen Andrews' back yeah. door. That pump is still standing there.
Yeah.
Would that have been on the same streamline?
No, no, it was separate, because there was a separate one this way, on this side. No, that runs down the other side and out round about by Phil Rogers down there, and then just as you get down past there, there's three or four big tanks, and it runs straight down past where the little bungalow used to be, where the spinny is, and then that crosses the road there and goes under the road and down to the hunting bridge on the other side. Mm. That water does, but that was up there, and then holidays, you know, it was quite a big barn over this other side by the reservoir, and he used to keep you go under the archway, and they got a big garage there, and they're all farm implements, because although they serve petrol, they mended cars, they made their own cartridges for shooting and all that sort of thing, and they sold everything, nails, fishing rods, guns, push bikes, when the cars come along by the war, well, they even, you know, done them sort of things, but that was them there. And then we went up just above them, on the same side, on that right hand side. Old Pethy Lewis's mother had a shop. He was the, what do you call it, the man who looked after the doll and all that thing, Pethy Lewis. And he had a little office just along Hudson's Lane there. It's railed off. There's like, I don't know what you call them, there's some big snails. Like snails, made of stone.
Yeah.
And Pethy Lewis had a little thing there, I think, a bloke looks after your feet now at there.
Yeah.
That's right, and that was his office.
That wall with the various...
they got a proper name called? For them.
Yes. It's still there. It's behind the bicycle shop.
That's it.
If you go to the bicycle shop, it's still there.
That's it.
The bicycle shop.
Yeah. Well, Mrs. Lewis had a shop just above there, and one of her things, I used to have cigarette adverts in the window, and there was one there for Kensitus. And it showed you a butler with a tray, and his master's cigarettes there, cases of cigarettes. If you made a poem, and sent it in, you could get some pad cards or something like that. So that some of them had to go and made one up, and it was Kensitus, my heart's delight, tarred rope, and camel shite. Secret process, it's a farce. You can stick your fags up. You know the rest. But whether it ever won a prize or not, I don't know. And then, of course, you had the Legion just above there. the British Legion, and that used to be all the men used to get in there. It was they had dominoes, lots of dominoes, darts, and snooker, and all that. It was quite a hive thing. Not all the dances and that sort of stuff, but it was all ex-servicemen, really. Mm. It was quite good in them days, and they had a bloke named Lardy Vincent. He got a grocery shop at Bloxham, near the War Memorial, and he got Tucker's, where Tucker's was in the marketplace. He was that as well, and he was a the bloke who looked after all the money for the Legion, and he was as straight as a die. He kept it all up together, he did. Mm. Yeah, that was Lardy. Have you got him? Lardy Vincent.
Yeah. Just wondering how we're doing for time, Rob, on the tape.
We've probably got more time than Sid.
Right.
Wants to do 80 minutes on here.
80 on the disc. Yeah.
You get there, yeah. Where we got to then. We got up there on the opposite of the Tour.
Yeah.
That's right, that was where the British Legion was, and then opposite the Tour was two farmers. One was Page and one was Clark's.
Was one of those Maughan's Farm?
They both farmed. But
there's a house there now called Maughan's Farm.
Mm-hmm. It's what?
Maughan's Farm. Maughan's Farmhouse is there now.
Oh, yeah.
Was that one of them?
Yeah, well, that was one of them. Clark's kept the bottom one where Dr. O'Donnell lives, sort of thing there. And Mrs. Butlins used it as well. They lived there for a while. She married one of the, 2 years ago, she married one of the Lovells at Barford. And she, when we was up the parade, you know, on a Sunday, she was there and she come up to me and said, "Well, how nice to meet you. I was one of the, you know, like that." But this Page, the one who was nearest the crossroads, there wasn't a house there. It was a funny old farmhouse, but there was a yard there. And he used to put about 6 or 8 big bullocks in this thing in every winter, in this yard. And by the end of Christmas and come the good weather, they'd put so much straw in that, and these bullocks was walking about on top of this straw, and over the top of, right on top of this wall up there. And then of course they went out, and that was it for the next year. It was all cleared out. They cleared all the muck out, took it up the road and on the farm, and the bullocks, they went onto the grass there. Then you went just past there, and you got to Bolton's slaughterhouse. Was that where they go up there now to the cafe? They got a car park there, haven't they? There was a baker's oven there. They were bakers, the Bolton's people. They had a slaughterhouse up the yard. They killed their own beast. In the big house there, they had old French students come in there, and some of the Bolton women used to teach French and all that sort of, English to the French and that sort of thing. Then they had their butcher's shop up a bit higher, the other end of the Holcombe, near the thing. And then you got the last, doctor, one of the doctors, there was a Osborne House, I think it is, and one of the doctors had that, the one who went to Bloxham. What was his name?
Dr. Fell.
Yeah, that's it, there. And he was there, and then we called, Miss Hams come in at the corner there, that was the corner of Empton Road. On the opposite side, you got the police station, old Sergeant, what's his name? Old Doodah's name.
Page.
He was the sergeant. He was in charge, and that was there was a cells there and that as well for that. And then if you come down again to meet up with Hudson's Lane, there was dealers, and they were coal merchants and wood purge, and they'd go to Banbury for Banbury Thursdays and Saturdays.
Where was dealers?
Dealers was opposite the hotel.
Right.
You know the tour?
Yes.
Like two doors up past there. Right. There's some double gates. Yes. Before you get to the library. And dealers was in there. And they'd done coal, and they had the coal yard down Castle End, where the opposite Loveday's, down there. And they'd every Tuesday, every Thursday and Saturday, he'd come round, one of the dealer chaps, he'd come round all the shops in the village. Anything Banbury today, Mr. Gorse? And he'd put in his nose, so much yeast, so much soap, and so and so. And he'd go all round the town like that with his little notebook and trot off to Banbury horse and cart and come back and bring all the stuff they back at night, what they wanted, like, you know. Yeah. And of course, on that theme, I can remember going, my dad taking me to Banbury. It was a agricultural thing on somewhere near Bodycote, and we all dressed up, had a wash and got clean jerseys on and that, and got in this cart, horse and cart, and we went up there to this fate at Bodycote. I can remember that was there. But at the same time as I went on there, I was quite young then, because we lived up back there then, and my dad took me down every Saturday night. He'd go down to the marketplace, and it was Dodwell's Dickie Doddle, and he was the baker, and then his brother Bernard Dodwell, he was the butcher. And on a Saturday night, no fridge, so he'd go down there and almost throw the meat at you to get rid of it, because they couldn't do anything with it, like, you know. So my dad used to go down there on Saturday night, they all, you know, late, so old Bernard could get rid of his bits of meat, and then he'd go in the pub, you see. And on there, that was on that. And then who else had we got there? Oh, we got Miss French, just on that side by Dodwell's baker's shop. She got a sweet shop. And done nothing else than his sweets, but the funny thing, he went in the front door, and there was a door to the side, and all the sweets was in little boxes, all in there, and she got a little glass window in the position there, and you'd go in, and she'd look through the thing and see who you were, and she'd watch you, and of course, they used to try it on the when they go in the shop, and Miss French, yes, all right, I'll be there in a minute. And of course, I used to try to pinch one or two of the odd toffee or something like that, but she was pretty good, she caught most on them on that. And then we had that was there. Opposite, we had the paper man. The post office, where the post was, that was he had a there, and we had a man there who was there quite a few years, and his name was Bolton, and he was on one of the first, what you call it, submarines, when they had, or what you call it, had to put the power out first,
a steam drum.
Yeah, when they folded, the things there.
Yeah, the funnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's Mr. Bolton, a good old fellow, man, there he was. He's dead now, but he was a submariner, and that was, I always remember that like that. And in the Navy, in the war, he'd, what you call it, if he I'd come home on leave or something, and I got tied up with a female company or something like that, and I was at home, he said, "You on your own, Sid?" I said, yes. He said, oh, so-and-so been looking for you. And I said, oh, don't forget it. But he was good. That was up there then. Where we got to, oh, we had on the opposite side of the crossroads, there was old Lummy Coles, and he had Tommel Farm, and he lived there, and he was a, I think the lady before that, she was a big lady from Eastrup or somewhere, and she was a sheep farmer, and that was quite a big name for them. I think she got involved with Lummy that because he moved up to Tommel Farm in the finish, and the Paynes at Empton, they worked for him for all his life, all their life, like, for Lummy Coles. And then his grain went up to where it's the school then, opposite the school, that's there. And then you come across the road, there was the coppers, there was old Ponsford, he was another one with three stripes, and is there, and Butler caught me out one day, because we used to go catapulting a little bit, and go down Chapman's Lane, where Ockrus had tipped their stones, and you could get all the nice little rain bits of stone, you see, for the old catapults, and then we'd go round the edges, round the fields, with the catapults, and my mate and I were down there, picking all these bits of stone up, and all of a sudden he said, oh, Butler's coming down. He was on his bike. I said, oh, damned. And anyway, we stood there, put around in our pockets, and said, good morning, Mr. Butler. Good morning, how are you? I see you, young Barry. He said, I want to see you. He says, you've got a gun, haven't you? I said, yes, and I've got a license for it. I know all about that, he said. So, I want you to do something for me. And I thought, hello. He said, I've got some jackdaws up on the police station office. He said, I wonder if you'd come up there and shoot them for us. So that was all right that time. Mm-hmm. That was all. But on the opposite side, where the council, the bungalows are now, there used to be, I think it was Van Oss who lived in the big house of Mrs. Collins on the corner opposite King's Arms. And she had all that ground, and the nannies used to put the children, they'd have the prams and push them out and go up in that piece of field there, that big piece like, and the kids were all right then, keep an eye on them, and that was all right. So Nobby and I had been up the road with the air gun this Sunday morning, and we hadn't got anything, and anyway, I said, oh, look, there's a damn pigeon over there, look, we'll have that. So we fetched this pigeon down. Of course, it was over with it amongst all these kids. He said, of course, we tossed up to see who was going. Of course, it was me again. And off over I went, and I ran in between these prams. Woke all the kids up and I got this bloody pigeon. I've got it and we hopped it quick before the thing had come back. And then just that rain there, of course it was a school then, that the school was the same place, but they got all the Miss Miller and Mrs. Busby. Miss Miller was a children's nurse and teacher. She taught a hell of a lot of for a long, long time. And then we had Mrs. Busby from Bodycut, and she was in standard 1 and 2, I think. And there was a Miss Smith, she come from Banbury on a little old motorbike at one time, a push bike. And at that time, the I remember when she had a bike of some sort, the road was caved with manelastic, and it was all got indentations, like little holes in it, When it, in frosty weather, it was really scary. You could slide all the way down the street on it. And she come off a motorbike there one morning. But that on there. And then there was Mr. That was she standard two. And then standard three and four was old Mr. Armsworth. He was the schoolmaster. His wife took standard three and four. And then Armsworth took the six and seven. That was it. That was the lot. That was it in there. Well, the school was quite good. We had a little garden at the back, and we used to pinch the apples and that. We had to go one time and pinch a stick of an old his what he pelted us with, chucked it down the well, and of course we tied the stone on it to make it sink. And tied it at one end, so when he looked in the well at night to pick that up, it was standing upright in the bottom of the well. Of course, he kept on until I don't think he ever found who threw it out. But that was him. And then at school times, one of the big things was Captain Alford, who lived in this house over the road. Where Mrs. The Manor, he lived there then, Captain Alford, and he used to give all the kids of the school a treat every year. And we used to go at the park, that was by Miss Pace's up the back there, what they called the park. And we'd go up there after lunch, and we'd be have races and all that, and of course, there were buns and lemonade and that. That was a good deal, old Captain Alford's. We used to go up there on that one. And then, of course, we got along there from where we got to Earl's Lane now, hadn't we? Mm. With the there. We got along there to where the surgery is now. There was a man up there. There weren't any bungalows there. No, Jim Franklin wasn't there. But there was a man there with it's an old house, it's been there all the time. And that's Tropy's Cornwall. He used to have go to old Sandy Ockross and have some tripe every week. And I called him Tropy Cornwall. And of course.
What's the name, Tropy?
Tropy Cornwall. And of course. Next door to that house, there was Callers, the coal yard. There, where they had the coal and tipped it out and come round every week with the coal bags and that. So that was them. And then next to them, there was a schoolmaster lived opposite there, Mr. Blake, Mr. and Mrs. Blake. On there, and then there were some allotments there, just past there, nearly opposite Cozy Lane. There was these allotments, and there was some cottages all along there. In fact, we lived in one before we come down there, and that was with Jumbo Allen. He was number one. And he was noted for telling bloody lies. He reckoned that when in the war, the Prince of Wales used to look him out every time. And he used to tell lies about this Prince of Wales, about how he used to meet him and what he said and all the rest of it. He was in the first cottage. And then there was Tordy Miller. He was a painter and decorator, worked for Ockcrafts. He got three or four sons, and Tordy, one of his mishaps was that he used to get down to the pub, down the volunteer, a lot of them used to get in the volunteer, and have a drink a lot of cider, and then if he wanted to get to the toilet, he couldn't get it down home in time. So he used to do that down his leg. I called him Tordy. And then next door to that, that was an oiler where we lived, in a little tiny little house, and Ed had a piece of allotment up there, and he had some, what was it, Dutch and Dutch blues or something ends, some fancy ends up there. I can remember going up there and helping pick the eggs up and that. And then there was the allotments, where that's before you got to the tennis courts. There was a man, well, Dudley Tustin lived in the corner of Rose Lane, Cosy Lane. There was two little cottages there. Ern Sykes lived in one, and I think he was the first one who got killed in the war. And then the other one was Dudley Tustin, and they had a big family of these Tustins, and they got a little boy. He was Sydney Tustin, and there was a farmer who lived round by Dr. Hodges, and he had the land down the Pestace, down there.
I remember that.
And he used to come by in his car and go down there each dinner, each lunchtime, right, come up and come back, and the old dog used to run alongside of it. And one day this dog sat up, Mrs. Tustin was got this little boy on her lap, sitting on the wall of the allotment, and the damn dog killed the kid, and nobody ever, you know, had a row over it, but that was it. It was just bad luck sort of thing. And that was there. And then on that farm down there, as you go down to Bloxham Verge, as we called it, some people called Gardner used to have some of the thing, and they lived, the farmer lived in Boy Johnson's around Castle End, and they got some horses and that, and we used to go down. They said, "Hey, coming down for a ride today?" And I'd go round there and jump on the back of this horse, and one of the boys used to, in front of me, I used to hang on like grim death, and we're about down Banbury Road, and all the little drain things, what they'd done, this horse used to go like that, take me up in the air and down again. And you can imagine what that was like on a without a pedal, a saddle. When I got down there, they got this elevator, and they got an old donkey, an old pony there, and this thing was, he was bolted up to a piece of wood, and he had to keep going round in a circle like that, and it worked the elevator. And when the chaps took this stuff on the thing, the old horse was supplying the power, and I had to sit on the horse and keep him going in a circle for about 2 or 3 hours, and then come back and have a jolt to roll to the road again. On there, that was another Newty Gardener. And then let's see, we got to know where we got to now then. Well, that was Earl's Lane, wasn't it? When we was along Earl's Lane,
yeah.
One of the other things I got on, we woke up one morning, all hell let loose, and the Castle Ace was on fire. And they had to pump Sammy Tustin's pond, was just along Earl's Lane, opposite the old centre, and they had to pump that out dry.
Mm.
And it made ever such a lot of thing of it, the Castle Ace. You don't hear much about that.
Mm.
But that, I can remember that.
How old were you then?
When that was on fire. Well, I must have been before I was 8. But I was fairly, one of my first memories. The other big memory I had was when we was up that way. My dad took me one night down, as I say, down to the butcher's to get some meat. And old Denton Marketplace was full with coloured lights, and elephants and all sorts of animals, and they were all tied up, Rainbow the Unicorn and that. And I can remember my dad saying, stand still, don't you get near them in case they step on them. But I've never heard anything about it, not since. You know, but I can remember that. And the other thing, what they'd done up by there, if you look along the, from the corner of the traffic lights towards the market, if you look in the wall along there, you'll see some iron ropes.
Yeah.
That's where they used to have the Pud and Pie Fair,
the horse
fair. Along yeah. there. And they all these people used to come with the horses and tie them up along the
yeah.
gold square there. And just past King's Arms, on the opposite side to the houses, there's a big lid, wooden lid. It's still there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that, they tied some of these horses up and they got disturbed or someone got frightened. And these horses smashed it in and they all went in this damn cellar place.
Mm-hmm.
And since then it's been, you know, that always mm-hmm. remember that. And when these people was got all these horses, they used to get the horses and run them, get all the lead and make a deal. They'd run the horse alongside the horse up to the crossroads and back again to make sure he could run all right like that. And when they made a deal, they'd go like that. That was it. Pass the money over. And that used to be a bit October time. But they all say about pudding pie. But old man Course, when he was old, and he didn't really know what pudding pie was made of, but it was something with the way you make pork pies, because you make pork pies with lard then, melted lard and hot, and flour, and that's how you get that stand up crust, you see. And so they used to make it like that, but I can't find out what they put in it.
Mm.
There.
Mm.
And then where else we got there then? We got the...
we're running down on tape yeah. now, or the disc.
That,
yeah.
Sid, can I ask one question, which is time for? Do you remember the vet, the bull, Mr. Bull, the vet, do you remember him?
Yeah,
he lived in our house. In
that's right, him? Bull, yeah, and one of his, what you call it, was a man named Ireland, and... I can remember going, taking him a little loaf from the book there, and he slept on he didn't sleep upstairs, he got a camp bed then in the front room, because it was a front door, you see, there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we had one heirloom, where, you know, where the wall fell down, there was a notice there, do not ride bicycles.
Still there.
Still there. Still there.
Is it?
Yeah.
And that was because because of Ron Cannon. He got a motorbike and he couldn't push it up there. So he's like me, well, I don't blame him. He used to drive it up there, you see, and old Harry Course got mad about this bloody motorbike going up there. So he got onto the things, and I think the Parish Council made that and stuck it on the Warno
yeah.
motorcycles. So that's how that got there.
Yeah.
On there. And then old Eli Lewis lived in the little cottage along there, along the stile. Eli Lewis on that, and Mrs. Catty Cat. And then you go up the corner and where Ron Cunning lives. And as you go in, you can turn to the right, and then there's two cottages along there.
Yeah.
And then there was Tunky Wheeler. That was one of the Wheelers from Dane New Street. He lived there. And there was another old man lived at the nearest end to the Goose Green. Jack Dale, his name was. And his son... was older than us then, you know, quite a bit older than us. and they got chasing some sheep somewhere, him and another lad, in one of these fields, and they're chasing these sheep and they had them galloping around, and they got caught. And he got put in the Navy for 12 years.
That was his punishment.
Yeah, yeah. And when the other one had to go, they had to go to the course, and that's what they've done with him. Old Jack. In that time. And then Jack, Ron kind of, yeah. Oh, have you got enough?
I think the machine is running out recording time.
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much more I can tell you, but I can tell you.